Cowboy.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, week seven, almost in the books. We are at 7 weeks already. Goodness gracious, does it fly by. San Francisco 49ers at 6-0 on the season, a 9-0 victory over the hapless Redskins in a torrential rain pour, which is kind of a scary game because, you know, when you get those kind of rainstorms where, you know, it's sloppy, it's really wet, it's coming down, points are at a premium, anything can happen. That's the crazy thing. It doesn't matter who you play. Anything can happen. You know, you take these two teams, put them in a dome, you know, the Niners win, I don't know, nine out of 10 times, right? But you put rain in the mix, wet conditions where guys are sliding all over the place, and all it takes is one or two plays, one or two lucky bounces, and next thing you know, you find yourself losing the game. I remember the Steelers played in a game against the Dolphins at Heinz Field, where it was so bad, the weather was so bad, that there was a punt where the ball lodged itself right into the ground when it landed, like a golf shot with backspin. I mean, those, but. The Steelers barely won that game against, they were, you know, would have been heavily favored on a normal night, a cool night. But because of the rain, you know, it ended up being a close game. And the same thing here. The 49ers defense pitched a shutout. Now, look, the weather helps, but they still found a way to pitch a shutout in a game where you're going to need a little bit of luck to survive the weather. So they go to 6-0, and all of a sudden now we're having a really different conversation with the Niners. I started the show with that sort of the conversation. We are almost at the halfway point. There are still some teams we wonder, do you have it for the stretch run? You may be looking good now, but now we're getting into the latter part of October and into November where these games are going to start mattering, and now we're going to start seeing the playoff picture in conversation. Teams are going to play themselves out of the conversation. Teams are going to play their way back into the conversation. And the 49ers at 6-0, do you trust a team like this to be a top seed in the NFC? To be a potential Super Bowl team after the first 6 weeks against the opponents that they've played? 6-0 is 6-0.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Starting to get a feel for these teams after week number seven. All right, I got a question, Ron. Daniel Jones, did we jump the gun a little bit on Daniel Jones? Or are the Giants still got themselves the quarterback of the future?
All right, well, if it's either one or the other. Either we jump the gun on Daniel Jones, or right now we're jumping the shark on Daniel Jones.
True. Or should we all just chill out and let him just play this out for the long haul?
Just let him do his thing.
Because I think we're overreacting a little bit. I think the media is overreacting a little bit. Look, it's Daniel Jones is supposed to struggle. That's the point, isn't it? He's supposed to be a rookie that makes mistakes. Because anytime he turns the ball over, whether it's a fumble or an interception, it's supposed to be during the week of preparation for the next opponent. He's supposed to sit with the quarterback's coach, the offensive coordinator, whoever, and kind of go through the progressions of, why did you throw that ball there? What were you seeing there? Let's work on this. Because he's supposed to grow as the job, you know, as he gets more and more prepared for this league. And right now, I think he's doing normal rookie things. But because he won his first two games against Tampa Bay and against Washington, I think we went Danny Dimes, we were all wrong, et cetera, et cetera. And now that he's regressed, where he's turning the ball over a lot, I don't want panic to settle in and people going, oh, knew it all along. Right? No, he's a rookie quarterback. He's got skills. He throws a good ball at times. A lot of times he throws a good ball to the other team. But nevertheless, he can throw a good ball at times. But I think he's also that game against Arizona, it was raining there too. And I'm not making excuses, but the play calling was terrible. They did a draw on third and long. You know, we down by 3 points. You know, it's not putting himself in those positions to be successful. But it just goes to show you, because of the, you know, kind of the culture that we live in, where we want sort of instant gratification now in almost everything. I mean, we'll freak out when an app doesn't work. That Daniel Jones's progression into this league was criticized and then praised and then criticized again. All in a matter of what? 5 games? Is that what we're talking about? I mean, he came in week 3 for crying out loud. And already I've seen the arc of Daniel Jones' criticism. I mean, look, they've lost 3 games, 3 straight games, and 2 of them were to the Vikings and the Patriots. Let's not freak out about this. I think people are looking at the way he's playing and saying, okay, this is a little much. And I would agree. Look, whether or not he's a rookie, you don't want him to make that many mistakes, but he is going to make mistakes. All of them make mistakes. It's rare that a rookie comes into this league and doesn't make a ton of mistakes. For the most part, for the norm, outside of the few unicorns that have come into this league and have been outstanding from the second they got in the league, for the most part, this is a growing pain type of thing. This game is tremendously faster than anything that these guys experience in college on a week-to-week basis. You know, and then, you know, I know people were pointing out that, well, Clemson had NFL. He only plays Clemson once a year. Wake Forest isn't loaded with NFL talent. Right, North Carolina State isn't loaded with NFL talent. For the most part, he's playing against guys in college that had 1 speed, and he gets to this level, and it's another speed, and the windows are tighter, and he's going to learn to grow with that. But think about this, Ron. Last night, there were 2 teams that were 3-3 playing, in the Cowboys and the Eagles. And with the Cowboys winning that game, the Eagles are now 1 game back at 3-4. The Giants are 2-5. And if you look at the Giants roster, you don't see a very good football team, a team that needs a lot of holes to fill. But they have Saquon Barkley, and they've got this young quarterback that's kind of on the rise. Could you make the argument that maybe they pulled the gun a little too soon on Daniel Jones and putting him in the game, and that Eli Manning might have given this team a better chance to win a few of these scrappy games, enough to put them still in the conversation? I know they're only 2 games out, with still some games to play, obviously. But if Eli wins a game that Daniel Jones doesn't, they're right there with Philly. They're right. There is nobody leaving the NFC East and running away with it. There's no 6-0 team. There's no 6-1 team. I mean, the Cowboys are 4-3 and leading the division.
See, I think the issue would have been had they not inserted Daniel Jones, we would have gone through this last month going, when are they going to put Daniel Jones in?
Quite possibly, yes.
And that would have been the whole narrative surrounding the Giants. Every talking head would have been saying, it's time for Daniel Jones. It's time for Daniel Jones. So I think they put him in when they needed to.
Yeah, they had lost 2 games. They lost to Dallas and Buffalo, and they didn't look good on offense in either one of them.
But in hindsight, it's kind of funny because the loss to Buffalo at the time seemed horrible, drastic.
That's right.
We didn't really know that Buffalo actually had a decent team.
Is the Bills only beat the Jets?
Right.
And they had to come back late to do it. So it seemed like one of those kind of fluky NFL things, right? Where it was more on the Jets than it was on the Bills.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden now the Giants were playing the Bills, and that was that first 2 games where Buffalo just basically stayed in New Jersey. And the Bills won that game by 2 touchdowns. And now all of a sudden you go, okay, if you're Pat Shermer, you go, okay, look, we lost these games. Our defense isn't very good, but I don't have an offense that's matching it, and I'm going to make the switch. And at the time, people were saying it was the right time. You're right. And it's weird to say that about a team that's pulling the plug on a veteran quarterback early in the season, admitting that the Daniel Jones move is not just about, you know, you have to convince people that it's not just about getting the rookie his reps, that it is still about winning the game early in the season. It's not like the Giants were 1-7 or maybe 3-10. And you're putting Daniel Jones in the final few games of the year because it is a lost season and you now need to see what you have. They went 0-2. The season is certainly not over, but you're making a switch to a rookie quarterback And you're saying, look, on the one hand, we feel like he gives us the best chance to win. But on the other hand, we need him to get reps because he's the future of our franchise. And that's the way a lot of people took it. Now, some people in the media said, well, this is still too soon. Eli Manning deserves better. But this is still a business. And the business is put your team in the best position to win. And Daniel Jones at the time against Tampa Bay felt like that was going to be the case.
Not only put your best, put your team in the best position to win, but you want to, you need to find out. You can't just have like a small
litmus
test to find out, is Daniel Jones going to be the guy?
You invested a sixth pick overall, number six pick overall in this kid.
So, I mean, you went high for him. You guys were all on board with him saying, this is the guy who's going to be the new quarterback of our team, you know, for future generations. Because let's face it, I mean, they drafted Eli with that intent, and it's panned out for him.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, yeah, they haven't had great records year after year after year, but they do got two Super Bowls.
They got two Super Bowls out of the deal, which is more than a lot of people have gotten with their quarterbacks.
Yeah, so I mean, you have to take a risk, and you don't want to sit there and go, all right, well, let's put him in at the end of the year, kind of a garbage situation, garbage time situation, if you will, for like the final couple of games. Throw him in now, throw him in then, see what you have in him, see if the sixth overall pick was worth it. If not, you know, the good news is that if he's not panning out and he's losing and they're losing bad, they're in prime position for this upcoming draft.
You know, it's funny that Ben Roethlisberger's situation was obviously different in terms of record. But when Roethlisberger came into this league, Tommy Maddox was the team's quarterback. And Maddox went down in week two. And the Steelers, Roethlisberger took that job over and ran it all the way through. They ended up going 15-1. They lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. But in that AFC Championship game, you could tell by watching it that Roethlisberger was regressing into the rookies. It almost as if I've played too many games. I've never played this many games before. He looked a little lost. Patriots were a good team, so don't get me wrong. But there was this screaming about whether or not Tommy Maddox should have been put in the game. And the argument against it was, no, it's Ben's team now. Right? It's Ben's team. And even though you want to win the championship, it's Ben's team. And Tommy Maddox was no better. He was not going to be better than Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger had proven all through the season he could make those throws. He could make the big throws that Maddox couldn't make. And that ended up being the argument. And it's the same thing. It's obviously different because that was a playoff game and this is the season. But I think the Giants are saying, no, this is Daniel Jones's team. And it's a struggle right now. We lost to a Cardinals team at home. But this is his football team. And this is we're going to go up and down with him, whether he fumbles the ball, whether he throws an interception, or whether he throws four touchdowns. We're going to live and die with this pick until it proves without a shadow of a doubt that he can't play in this league anymore. All right, again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. More from the NFL, including Ron, your team, and their status next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, one out of every four batteries will fail this winter. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts if it needs to be replaced. O'Reilly has the Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So we're at week seven. Some teams are still in it. Some teams are done. Some teams are on the bubble. At 2-5, are the Chargers done? That's my question.
All right, at 2-5, I don't think anyone has ever done it.
I don't think so either. I don't think it's...
But this Chargers team is... They're done.
It's a bad loss. Tennessee's going through a transition. It's a bad loss.
It's a...
And the way it happened, too.
You know what? We need just get rid of Melvin Gordon. We don't need him. We were doing so much better without him.
No kidding.
I don't care. You know, he's a young, hot running back who demands all this money. He ain't getting paid. You kidding me? He can't score from a half foot line on the goal line.
I can't believe an NFL team can't move the ball a half a yard. at any given moment.
I mean, they ran the same play twice, and then on the second play, he decides to fumble the ball at the goal line. That's brilliant. Brilliant move. Brilliant strategy, Melvin Gordon.
If you get every opportunity, if you get three chances from a half yard out and you can't punch it in, you deserve to lose the game and you fumble the ball.
I hope to God Phillip Rivers ripped him a new one in the locker room.
You realize the Chargers have now lost three straight games to teams whose seasons are kind of,
Yes.
The Broncos, the Steelers, and the Titans.
I mean, they're losing to teams that are competing for quarterback draft next
year. You got to get this right because they're playing the Bears and the Packers and the Raiders and the Chiefs.
Oh, no, they're done.
I mean,
they're
give me a break. You got to win these games.
They're not beating the Bears. That defense is going to dismantle them. They're not beating the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is going to, is just going to tear them apart.
The Broncos are practically letting the offense for the Broncos are giving away wins. And the Steelers had Delvin Hodges as quarterback.
I mean, the sad thing is that this does them nothing. You know, it's one thing to lose, but, you're in a position right now where you're in a new city. And I'm still saying you're in a new city, even though it's been two seasons already. You're in a new city where you're trying to create a fan base. No fan base, no one's going to jump on this bandwagon.
No. Not at all.
And it's only going to get worse. You can't sell out a soccer stadium with your own team jerseys. You for sure will not be selling out the new L.A. stadium when it opens up next year.
Wait till the Packers show up. We talked about this last week. Wait till the Packers show up.
Yeah, it's going to be a sea of green.
Oh, my goodness. You thought the Steelers travel well. Wait till the Packers show up on November 3rd.
They're already there, Tony.
Already vacationing in.
They're already vacationing. I mean, the weather's already getting chilly up in Wisconsin. They're done. They're like, oh, you know what? Let's get one more last fling in the sunshine, Southern California sun, before we, bog down for the winter. It was so disappointing watching that game. Phillip Rivers, I mean, That strike to Austin Eckler, that's got to be their game plan. Stop trying to move it from 5 yards in. You can't do it. Just score from 20 yards out every single time. That seems to be the only thing that works for you guys.
Why don't the quarterback sneak? Why? I mean, I know Rivers doesn't want to do that, but at that point, can you just tell him to do it?
No, he would die.
It's a half a yard.
But why not give it to Derek Watt?
Or somebody like that, right?
Why are we still going with Melvin Gordon? Why not put Eckler back in?
Why don't they do the refrigerator Perry and find the biggest offensive lineman they could and just let him barrel through for half a year?
Hand it off to Joey Bosa. That would have been better.
I don't care. Anybody else? I don't care. Do something. A half a yard. You have three opportunities from a half a yard out, and you can't punch it in against Tennessee?
It was absolutely pathetic.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, I'll be honest. They got favorable spots.
They did.
Twice against the Titans when the Titans were trying to go for it on fourth and one.
Yep.
Well, first of all, it was fourth and one when the first spot was that was pretty favorable of them. Then they were able to put the stop, and it was like, okay, there's life. Phillip Rivers, he only has half a field, 3 minutes left in the game. That's plenty of time for him to move the sticks, and he did. He moved him right down the field, got him all the way down to the 1 yard line, and then that happens.
And here's the deal: that division with Patrick Mahomes out now, Matt Moore's a good backup, but he's not a great backup. You don't know what Kansas City situation is. Win some games and get back in this race.
Yeah, the Broncos are going to win the division. Don't even worry about it.
Right.
Because the Raiders can't get their act together. They can't be the same team 1 week in and 1 week out. They just want to be, oh, we're good. No, we're bad. We're good. No, we're bad. And then the Chargers, this is your time. This is the perfect time for the Chargers to kind of take control of the AFC West and tear it apart. They can't. They don't want to.
So I read that
it's almost as if they are secretly tanking and we just don't know about it.
So I read that this is the fifth time this season that the Chargers have had a goal to go situation and turned the ball over.
Yep.
That's amazing to me.
That's a brilliant move, isn't it?
That's amazing to me. Now I don't follow that particular statistic enough to start wondering if that seems like a tremendous amount to me. That you turn the ball over five times in a goal to go situation?
Well, I bet you this: if we were to look through the annals of the Patriots dynasty since 2001, how many times do you think a Patriots team has fumbled where it's a goal to go?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question.
In the entire
less than
dynasty,
five?
I would definitely be less than five. I'd be surprised if he was even one.
Five in one season is incredible. That's we've only played six, seven games.
Mm-hmm.
They've played seven games. They've five already? Turnovers with goal to go?
At this point, I mean, they get rid of Melvin Gordon. He does nothing for the team anymore.
Nothing. Austin waited Eckler all that time
is,
to
Austin
get him
Eckler
back.
Austin Eckler is so much better. And I think that's part of the problem. I think, you know, him coming back to the locker room, it shows people excited and happy. But I think it's almost disruptive because, you know, there are those who are sitting there like, okay, he sat out all of training, all of camp, waiting for this big contract, didn't show up for the first couple of games, and only decided to show up. Why?
Unbelievable. Three straight losses against those three teams. And fumbles at the goal line with a chance to win the game, a half a yard out with 15 seconds remaining.
I mean, I can make excuses.
The Titans pull off the win.
I can make an excuse for the Broncos. You know, that's a division rivalry. That's one of those where, you know, Broncos get hyped up to play against a division rival. You just kind of throw out the record book. The Titans, this one, I can't make an excuse.
Well,
Ryan Tannehill, come on.
It's Ryan Tannehill.
Couldn't even be the starter for the 0-6 Dolphins.
And here's the other thing, too. When you think about it, the Titans, you know, going through this transition this week, the players, from all accounts this week, it's been a really rough week in Nashville for the Titans. Marcus Mariota is a good teammate. Marcus Mariota is liked a lot by his teammates. They have his back. But this benching, there was a lot of discord within the team. You know, they have to pull it together and all of that. They're professionals, and they know this comes with the territory. But it was a bad week. And they came out and supported Tannehill, and they went out and won this game. And I don't know if Tannehill is the future. I mean, if this was a wake-up call for Mariota, he might be looking for another job. But because, you know, Tannehill looked pretty good. 3-12 and two touchdowns. Now, I don't know if he's the long-term solution here or they're going to go in another direction. But a win changes a perception of a lot of things. If Tannehill had stunk, maybe it's the wake-up call. If Tannehill plays well, it's starting to, you know, start looking in another direction. And for Tennessee, it's looking in another direction. And for the Chargers not to be able to at least take some sort of emotional advantage of that, of just going in with a team that's in a little bit of disarray, go out there, you're better in a lot of facets, and have the ball at the goal line with three chances to punch it in and can't do it. And the Titans go on to, now they're 3-4. Giving them bright hope in a division in the AFC South. So, I don't know. I was just wondering about your thoughts on whether or not the Chargers at 2-5, because they've done this 2-5 thing before. The slow start, turn it around. But do you sense that there's a team that can turn, like this is a team that's put together to turn it around? In a division where when Mahomes is playing healthy, they have an unstoppable division leader? And a Oakland team that, despite their loss in Green Bay, might be a little better than not the easy out they used to be. I mean,
it's pathetic.
Not the same crappy division from the bottom up, So it's a bad loss. It's a really bad loss.
No, that's why I'm saying. I mean, just stick a fork in them. They're done. They're already looking towards the offseason. I was hoping that this season it would be one of those scenarios where you make the playoffs, have a good run, maybe Phillip Rivers gets in. Then the following year, you know, let's tank for Trevor.
Yes. Yeah, tank for
that
Trevor.
Was,
we talked
was,
about that.
Yeah, that was my plan for you guys, and now I'm just, you know what? If you're gonna lose like this, then you got to start doing better at losing.
You know what is amazing?
You got to catch up to the Bengals or the Dolphins to go after Joe Burrows or something.
There was one aspect for the Titans I wanted to get to. Jeffrey Simmons played, the Mississippi State kid. He tore his ACL working out for the draft. I thought he was going to be out forever. I thought he was going to be out for like the entire season. I remember when they drafted him in April, like, well, that's a project. He's a really, really great player when he's healthy, but he's not healthy. He tore his ACL, so this is one of those moves for 2020. He played yesterday. He must have some sort of magical cure. That was great. That was great to see. But not great to see from the standpoint of a team coming. Because I wasn't pulling for either team. And I'm kind of, I'm watching this game like knowing you're a fan. And I got a bunch of friends here. You're in Nashville that are fans. So I'm watching it kind of, equal. My cousin's a season ticket holder. But I'm watching this from two different perspectives. One, from a team that had so much expectation coming in. And another team that's going through that disarray where you're going, okay, we got to figure this out. It's going to be rough. We got to get a new quarterback. We're not all high on Tannehill. Even if he does play well, he's not the long-term answer for this team. What is the long-term? And those are the kind of questions. Whereas the other question was, hey, the Chargers need a win, and they need a quick win, and they need to get back into this race. And now you leave that game going, I don't think both narratives are shot. Next.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, is the good, the bad, and the dumb? Here we are on a Monday after week 7 in the NFL. So let's get the good.
The good of the day. I saved this one from last week.
All right.
I really wanted to share with you. You know, you fell ill the last 2 days of last week. So
I was missing it.
I had this one and I was like, I can't do it yet.
All right.
So, I mean, even though this is old, I mean, people probably have seen this video because it has gone viral. I had to share it with you.
Okay, good, because I was out Friday.
Yeah.
And most of the show
Thursday.
Right.
We didn't get to the good, the bad, or dumb on Thursday.
Right.
Yeah, you had to tap out early. And
yes,
for good reason.
I did.
So, Tony, we all got to die someday.
Yes, we do. Sad part of life.
This will probably be the best way to go.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Oh, my goodness.
Hello? Hello? Let me out. I can hear. Is that priest I can hear? Let me out. Hello? Hello? Stop, I can hear you. Hello? Hello, please.
Hello.
Who's there?
Hello.
He's in shame. Me. I'm in the box. No, I'm front of you. I'm dead.
Hello again, hello. I just called to say goodbye. I'm going to die, I pray to say. Hello again, hello.
Explain the context of this.
The context is that this is an Irish funeral.
All right.
The voice that you hear is that of the man who they were having the funeral for.
All right, so he's dead.
He's dead. This is a pre-recorded.
And he pre-records this thing.
He pre-records it. And
people are laughing hysterically.
Well, why not?
It's great.
I mean, I the only problem is now I wish we knew this guy in life. He sounds like a great guy to be around.
How many people were tempted to open the coffin just to make sure?
Oh, you kidding me? I would.
I'm like, well, it's funny, but can we check?
They probably had a wake. It's Irish.
Right.
Irish funeral. So they probably had a wake, saw that he was, you know, sleeping pretty good. But
probably told people he was doing this. So it got played.
Well, obviously he had to say, hey, you got to play this at my funeral.
That's pretty funny. That is really, really funny.
I mean, it's just so clever. I've decided that's the way I want to go. I just need to record one final message and just have, you know, make everyone laugh.
I got to do something. I want to do something funny.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
So,
I
had to save that for
you. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did for my return to the airwaves. You saved that for me. That is good. That makes me feel happy. I don't know. That just makes me feel happy.
When you have that happen and you hear everyone chuckling, having a good time, it's not a sad funeral. You know that they went afterwards and say, God, that was a different funeral. I mean, before that, when the video first starts, you have people, you know, tears are being shed. And,
oh, sure.
You know, because, you know, eulogies, a sentimental eulogy was probably read. The priest probably had a few words. You know, you heard the bagpipes when it first started. So it's just all this sadness. And then this kicks in. This is what starts the party off the right way.
You know what I found when many, many years ago, my grandfather had passed away and my family asked if I would give the eulogy. And I remember my aunt telling me, be funny. And I was like, be funny? What are you talking? Oh, my gosh. And I'm like, how do you be funny?
Yeah.
But so I wrote some, you know, some jokes in there about, you know, and I twisted some stories to make them funny and about my grandfather who loved baseball a lot and whatnot and giving me $10, you know, every time I'd see him, he always sneak $10 in my hand, like, don't tell your dad. But what I found out was, and I got asked to do this after like one of the saddest songs. We were at this service and my grandfather lived to be like 86. And there was, they played this really incredibly sad song and everybody was crying. And then I was up next and was like, oh, now the comedic stylings of Tony D. And like, I'm like, ah, but I remembered how quick everybody wanted to laugh. How quick people were right. really wanted to chuckle at a joke or, you know, be funny and just have a, and just, you know, it's sad. We're saying goodbye to a loved one who lived a very nice long life, and it's very sad, but people wanted to chuckle. They wanted to remember a good time. And this is a perfect example of that, about the people in that room hearing that and wanting to laugh, hearing his voice, hearing his funny voice. That has got to be a little freaky at a funeral, but the way people are laughing, people wanted to do it. So that's a pretty good. Yeah. But now we got to get to the bad.
The bad of the day is it's more of a fear than right? anything that LSU's Joe Burrow's had his Heisman moment.
Oh, okay. This Saturday. Yeah, he did.
Because this will be, you know, whenever you have that Heisman moment, it's a play. Usually that's played over and over and over and over again.
Yes, exactly.
I have a fear that this might be played over and over and over and over again.
All right.
You know which play I'm talking about.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead,
it's,
though.
It's the sack saw around the world. I don't know how to really describe it or give it a name, but basically he was going down. And at that point, what was happening was whoever the defensive lineman was, I can't remember, had a hold of the back of his pants and was pulling him down by the back of his pants.
That's right.
And smart on Joe Burrow's at that moment to just take the sack, because we as viewers got to see a lot more than we had hoped for.
I never seen this before, by the way. I thought this would happen a lot.
Yeah.
Right? He just rips it down.
Just ripped it down, and then in all his glory, you know, we saw that Joe Burrow's second career could be a plumber.
Ah, ha, ha, ha. Very nice. Well, way to put it.
Yeah, I'm trying to put it delicately.
Yeah. And like I said, I never really see this that happen. I thought that would happen.
Like you said, I mean, it is surprising.
Yeah, it's surprising.
You would think that this would happen all the time. I mean, people, right. I mean, you see T-shirts getting ripped all the time. Or the jerseys getting ripped all the time. Why is it only now that we're seeing some? Maybe it's the new form of tackling you have to do. Can't really horse collar him or hit him up high. You got to grab him by the pants and pull it down.
If you're Joe Burrow and you live in a world late, like if you take that moment and you fast forward to 2023, 2024, do you make T-shirts and sell that?
Maybe.
Do you say, well, I'm making the money on my own image and likeness?
Exactly.
That's, you know, what I'm doing now.
Maybe he has a T-shirt and says, hey, I just cracked my way into the Heisman race.
Yeah, exactly. Cracked my way into the Heisman race. I love that. Yeah, if you make the image, because you know LSU would love to eat that up and, you know, oh, let's see if we can make a buck off this.
Yep.
Right, yeah.
But no, that's my fear. I mean, you know, it's those iconic images or those iconic plays that we see all the time. And
yes.
I just hope that that's not one, because I really don't need to see it. I saw it a couple of times on Saturday. That was good enough for
that's
me.
That's all you need.
Because I saw
that's
it on Twitter and everyone. And, of course, you know, I was like, hey, son, come look at this.
He continues to be magnificent, man. He continues to be great. He really is rolling along.
At the beginning of the year, I told you my Heisman favorite was going to be Jalen Hurts. And I still stick by it because, you know, Oklahoma's going to be in the conversation there towards the end.
Well, he had like three touchdown passes and like another two runs,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, he's going to keep putting up numbers because the Big 12 dictates it. But Joe Burrow's in LSU, I mean, I think he's running away with it.
There is something about his, here's the thing, and I brought this up because I've said many times, I like the Heisman Trophy because there is some sort of mentality that voters have. And I think there is this impressive level with not only the way he's playing at LSU, but the fact that LSU is playing like this because of him, that is propelling what he's doing to an even higher plane. It's one thing if you go to a quarterback, you, for example, and you just are another quarterback that's churning out numbers. Okay, Jalen Hurts is yet another Oklahoma quarterback that is playing well under Lincoln Riley. But what Joe Burrow is doing at LSU hasn't been done at LSU. And it's making people stand up and give it even more credit than what it, you know, what it deserves, which is deserves great attention. But it's even getting bigger attention because it's like, whoa,
exactly.
I don't think I've ever seen LSU play like this in my entire life.
Yeah. I mean, and none of us saw it coming.
Right. So now all of a sudden you add that, voters are just going to stick his name on, it doesn't matter where you are, you're going to stick Joe Burrow's name on every ballot around the country.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it's unanimous at this point, just because of the fact of, you know, we're sitting there looking at, I mean, he's breaking every record at LSU just because LSU never had an offense.
Right, exactly. I mean, and, these and are again, easy.
I mean, it was like, you know, everyone's like, he's broke this record and they're only seven games in. It's like, well, because LSU doesn't have, never had anything, you know.
Completely.
The defensive record seven games in would be astonishing. This, not so much.
Not so much. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is that there's another little video that's been making the rounds. It's Tom Brady appearance in a Paul Rudd new Netflix show.
Oh, goodness. I couldn't believe this when I saw this.
I'm saying this is dumb, and it's for two parts. One is, if you haven't seen the video, check it out. Tom Brady is walking out of a massage parlor as Paul Rudd, who's playing this character in this new Netflix TV show, is pulling up to this massage parlor. And there is a joke referenced. Paul Rudd looks extremely nervous. Tom Brady comes from the massage parlor extremely satisfied. And, you know, he turns to Paul Rudd and goes, first time? And Paul Rudd is like, yeah. You? And Tom Brady responds, six.
That is awesome.
Which I like. I like the name of it, but it does kind of hint to something that his boss is kind of in trouble for right now.
That's exactly right. Why in the world did Tom Brady do this? What is the upper level than just having a good time in this movie? What's the thing that made Tom go, yeah, absolutely, I'm doing that. I'm doing that scene. I'm saying those lines. I'm in. Is there something else that he wants to say by doing that scene? It's awesome, by the way. It's really awesome.
And then on top of that, where it gets even dumber is that he has been blasting the media for the media thinking that he was taking a shot at Kraft.
Well, what are we supposed to do with that?
Yeah. I'm leaning more towards that part of being dumb. I love the fact that, you know, he went ahead and just did it. It's kind of like a Saturday Night Live skit. It's funny, humorous. I'm sure Robert Kraft gets a kick out of it because, you know, we've seen that guy kind of plastered at every football game, every primetime football. We'll probably see him drunk tonight. You know,
I would say to Tom Brady, okay, why you? Why isn't Aaron Rodgers doing this scene?
Right.
Why isn't Patrick Mahomes doing this scene? Why you? Why is it funny that you're doing it? Oh, Tom Brady went to a massage parlor, quote unquote. That's not funny. You know what is funny? When the owner of your football team got caught doing that. That's what makes this scene funny.
Yeah. It has to be you.
Don't blame us. Don't act like this came out of no. How dare you guys put two and two? What do you mean? That's ridiculous. Of course we're putting two and two together.
Well, I mean, if, you know,
Paul Rudd put two and two together.
If anybody else was doing it, say, you know, like the people you mentioned, say it was Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, then we're going to look at it as a dig against Robert Kraft.
Of course.
Nobody in football could pull this off. You could probably get away with a baseball player or a basketball player doing it, and you wouldn't put the two together, that you wouldn't immediately think Robert Kraft.
Right.
But anyone in the NFL, you're going to immediately think Robert Kraft, especially Tom Brady.
Yeah, completely.
I'm sorry, Brady. You're a smart, intelligent guy. We know this because of the football resume you put together, but don't come at us and just say you're football smart.
Unbelievable.
We know you're intelligent in life.
That's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Monday. Again, week seven. Almost done. Monday Night Football. NFL, Patriots, and Jets. I got one more thought on that one when we come back, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Are you ready for useless stat time, Ron Culver?
Sure.
Here is useless stat time.
Ready for it.
The New England Patriots are going for the season sweep of the Jets tonight. Since 2011, there have been six times that the Patriots have swept the Jets during the regular season. In 5 of those years in which they've swept the Jets, the Patriots have gone on to the Super Bowl. That's a pretty good percentage to me, Ron Culver.
That's
useless stat of the day.
That is astounding.
5 of the 6 times in which they've swept the Jets, they have gone to the Super Bowl since 2011. And the reason I bring up 2011 is because in 2010, the Jets beat the Patriots in the divisional round of the AFC with Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez. But since that game, Bill Belichick has been steadfast in beating the Jets. Only twice since then have the Jets won against the Patriots. And as I mentioned before, in 5 years that the Patriots have swept the Jets, since 2011, they have gone on to play in the Super Bowl. So take that. The 2 years that they split against the Jets, they did not play in the Super Bowl. So take that. So tonight, again, if you believe in those kind of things, again, useless stat of the day. If you believe in those kind of things, if the Patriots win tonight, favorites to go to the Super Bowl. If they lose tonight, start looking around the AFC for another team. There you go. Because that's been the trend. There's only been 1 year where that didn't happen. That was 2012. The Patriots played the Jets. The second game was on a Thanksgiving. That was the butt fumble game.
All right, can I share? I got a good stat for you.
Go ahead.
The Bengals have been outrushed by opponents. You ready for this?
Yes.
1,323 yards for the opponents versus the Bengals amassing 372 yards this season.
That seems impossible. 300 yards rushing in 7 games?
Yep.
I know they got to throw a lot because they're down, but still. I think they had like 30 yards rushing against the Jags yesterday.
Yeah, Joe Mixon, who led the AFC in rushing last season, has 18 carries, 12 yards the last 2 games.
Oh, no. Yesterday against Jacksonville, he had 10 carries for 2 yards. That's right.